the world were like a Sleep Number mattress, everything would adapt for your comfort. Your coffee would never get cold. Your flight would always be on time. And your mattress would always respond to you and your unique sleep needs. Sleep Number mattresses are designed to respond to your body and shift with your changing life, helping you fall asleep faster and stay asleep longer. To experience a whole new world of comfort, visit a Sleep Number store or go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, to a good life's sleep.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. What an honor to have you with us today. Whether you are listening to us by radio or watching us on Rumble, YouTube, or our Facebook live stream, we are glad you made the decision noon to three to hang out with us. I want you to write down our telephone number. You will need this if you plan on calling in today, 901-260-5926. Again, that's 901-260-5926. So we're following several breaking news stories, of course, the very latest from the Middle East. And we're going to get into more of that in just a few moments with our good buddy, retired General, Brigadier General John Tykert, who will be along to explain what happened over the weekend and where we are right now in this war with Iran. That's coming up in just a little while. Right now, though, we're following this breaking news out of New York City, where an anti-ICE terrorist tried to blow up something in front of the federal building in Lower Manhattan. And I would walk by that building many, many, many times over the years that I lived in New York City. I know that area quite well, just a block over from the New York City Hall and a block over from the World Trade Center site. And the video, and we have the video at toddstarnes.com, we have the video of the guy throwing the device that set off even more of an explosion. There was a lot of fire. We've got the video of that at toddstarnes.com as well. I encourage you to check that out. And then we have video of federal agents swarming the suspect, who appeared to be a guy, I don't know, he looked to be south of the border. But we'll find out more information about the suspect, no doubt about that. Anyway, we have video of that guy being taken into custody. And the FBI is now saying this was an act of terrorism. This was an act directed towards Immigration Customs Enforcement officers. And at least three people that we know of were injured. One of those people had to be taken to the hospital. They're all going to be okay. These are non-life-threatening injuries. But no doubt a terrifying situation there for morning commuters. I think it happened around 9 o'clock Eastern this morning. So a lot of people on the sidewalks when all of this went down. Let me just say right out of the gate that the suspect's not the only one who ought to be arrested here. I mean, if you want to talk about people responsible, we need to have a conversation about the Democrats that have been going out of their way, calling ICE agents brown shirts, stormtroopers, Nazis. We need to start holding these elected leaders accountable for the vitriol that's spewing out of their filthy mouths. We also ought to be taking a long, hard look at the propagandists in the mainstream media, the people that are using their megaphones to broadcast these lies about these federal agents. I got to tell you, I'm not surprised by what happened. I'm really not. I am surprised there have not been more attacks directed at ICE agents. So coming up a little bit later, we're going to be talking to Greg Bovino, who was the former border chief and Customs and Border Patrol chief, and he's got a lot of things to say about this. We're going to sit down with him for an exclusive interview. And by the way, Bovino's also very, very upset over what's happening on the deportation side of the administration. He says that right now they are softening their efforts to deport the illegals. Ladies and gentlemen, that is a very bad mistake. And this is, look, this is coming from people. President Trump puts people in charge of these agencies, and it's then up to the agencies to follow through. The president can't be doing, he can't micromanage every single department. So whatever is happening or is not happening, that's on the people the president put in charge of these agencies. So we're going to get into that with Greg Bivino a little bit later on. We'll keep you updated on this crazy story out of New York City. So I wrote something over the weekend that went a little viral. And by a little viral, it went a lot viral. And I normally, Dylan, I normally try not to post on my personal Facebook page only because so many of our, so many people I know are not exactly, what's the word I'm looking for? Conservative or open-minded. And so I thought, you know, I'm going to step back and I will leave my personal page for personal stuff. So I ended up writing something on my personal page. And for some, and I did it inadvertently. I thought I had actually done it on the main Facebook fan page where we've got almost 500,000 people that follow us. And that just exploded. And what I wrote on my personal page exploded. And I wanted to just, I don't know, share it with you and share some thoughts, because something happened over the weekend that really bothered me, and it just caught my attention. And I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this. And it really is a warning for Christians specifically. And Jews, yes, you're in this too, but it really impacts Christians more so. And I'll get to that in just a moment. But something happened over the weekend, and I thought, you know, this needs to be addressed. Ironically, I wrote about this very theme and this subject matter in my upcoming book, The Golden Age, How Trump Saved America. And it involves socialism. Now, over the weekend, we had Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and she was in town campaigning for a radical progressive, a socialist candidate by the name of Justin Pearson. You might have seen him in the news. He's a black dude, skinny black dude, massive power fro. You might, it kind of looks like a Pez dispenser, right? It's just, it's really odd. So, he does. It kind of looks like a Pez dispenser. And this is the guy, you know, who talks, who went to Bowdoin College in Maine and comes from a very, very affluent background. And now all of a sudden, he's like, wants you to think he came from the hood. And so he's adopted this accent that is just simply not his accent. And then AOC comes down, and AOC was leading this big rally. They had over 1,000 people turn out, and it was held inside of a large church, a black mega church in Memphis proper, within the city limits. And Ayanna Pressley was a part of this gathering, and also Congress gal Summer Lee, who is from Pennsylvania. So anyway, they're up there, and I sat down and watched. It was like a 2.5-hour thing. It was incredibly long. And so the pastor gets up, and the pastor announces to the congregation that Jesus was a socialist, and therefore they should be socialist. And it really caught my attention. They had, over 1,000 people. It was New Direction Christian Church. And AOC came back and reiterated what the preacher was talking about how being a socialist is a Christian thing to be. And it was shocking to me because most of the crowd was applauding. I mean, just applauding. It's really shocking. And then I started looking at some of the other events that were happening, political events around Memphis, and I'm curious what it is like in your community. Because I noticed that a good many black churches in Memphis are holding rallies and events and promoting these Democrat candidates, some of whom are in fact socialist. The pastor again said the Bible calls for Christians to be socialist. And the audience cheered. Now, the truth is, when you look at what's happening, many black pastors and predominantly black churches, and I'm not saying all of them, but many of them, have been mobilized, and they are engaged in the political process across the nation, and they are committed to electing these radical Democrats, not all of them, again, but most. And I finally figured it out. What's going on over the weekend? I didn't really think about it in this context, but this is one of the reasons why Republicans are not winning elections in places like Memphis, because they don't realize they're not just running against the candidates; they are running against the black pastors, and they are running against that machine. It is a powerful machine. Meanwhile. And I'm only saying, and I'm not saying this to attack anybody. These are just my observations here. Meanwhile, you've got a generation of pastors that came out of these woke seminaries. And let me just say this. I'm a Southern Baptist, so I know a little something about this. Many of them are our seminaries. And unfortunately, many of the pastors that come through Southern Baptist seminaries end up pastoring in other denominations. So they bring that wokeness and it spreads in pulpits all across the country. And that's one of the reasons why you've seen so many, I don't know, Christian churches disengage. And I'm talking about the evangelical conservatives. You've got the main line, the high church, you know, the Episcopalians and the Methodists and all those folks, the Lutherans. By and large, you guys are liberal and you guys are engaged in the process too. I mean, most of the Episcopal churches, I don't think any straight people actually go to Episcopal churches anymore. I think they're all kind of, you know, no, not that there's anything wrong with that. No, I'm just saying it's just that's kind of the reality of it. So anyway, you've got Republican candidates and they're being shunned by these white churches. And white pastors. I'm not saying all, but I am saying most. Meanwhile, black churches, they're openly embracing their candidates. And by and large, the white church community has opted to completely avoid cultural issues that plague our community. So instead of being salt and light, they are serving up a sodium-free message. Again, not all white churches, but most. Now, I want you to hear me on this. This is not about turning your Sunday service into a political arena, but it is teaching what the Bible says about the big issues of the day. It is talking about the issues that are impacting our community and our schools and our families. It's about teaching Christians how to vote their values at the ballot box. And it's also about informing our elected leaders. Here's what we expect from them as Christian citizens. And I suspect many preachers and churches in these cities have been bullied into silence. They're afraid of the criticism they might get by sharing what the Bible says about a particular culture issue. But I will say that when you do that, I think that our community actually suffers because so many churches that have heavily conservative congregations have just disengaged from the debate. They've opted out. And I just encourage you to look at what's happened across our country over the past 20 years, where the churches rapidly just evacuated from the public marketplace. And I want you to take a look at the moral rot and cultural decay that's happening. I know there are some churches here in this area, in the Memphis area. And I'm not going to name denominations. I'm not, because it's not about that. But I will just tell you that they will say that their big thing is sharing the gospel, and that's how we're going to change the culture. Well, I'm just going to say this. You're not doing a very good job of it because the city has gone to hell in a handbasket. So whatever you're doing, it's not working is what I'm trying to say. And all I know is that the pastoral silence on the big issues of the day have contributed in part to what the nation has become and what Memphis has become, the most dangerous city, the most deadly city in America. I mean, the silence has literally turned out a generation of children who cannot read at grade level. The silence has driven thousands of people from urban centers across America. If only our churches had the courage of President Trump. I mean, the man sees what's happening in the country. He's taking action. He's doing what needs to be done. And he really doesn't care what the folks down at the country club are going to think. He took a stand regardless of the cost. And I just have to say that politics is all about narratives. And when you have more than 1,000 people in a church cheering as the preacher calls Jesus a socialist, we need to pay attention to that. We need to pay attention to that. Because I'm telling you, there was standing room only in that crowd. And when you look around a lot of the mega churches across America that are on the conservative side, let me just say this. I don't see standing room only crowds. So this is not about telling a congregation to vote Democrat or Republican. It's not even about black or white. This is about teaching Christians to vote their values. And if we do not do that, socialism will eventually take over. And this is why it's so vitally important for you to understand this concept. Under socialist regimes, going back to Karl Marx, Christians are the first to suffer. The first thing they will do is shut down our churches. And they know they can do that because so many of you just handed over the keys to your church during the China virus pandemic. So they know they're not going to have any issue shutting down the churches. But then they're going to start going after the Christians. They're going to start going after the pastors. Tens of thousands of pastors, of Orthodox preachers, seminarians were slaughtered, sent to the gulags in the early days of the Soviet Union. That's what's going on. I got so much more to say about this. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Every generation must decide whether it will recognize deceit before it becomes normal. This weekend, Salem News Channel's America 250 film series presents The Fall of Deceit, a sobering documentary on government overreach, faith under pressure, and the cost of abandoning truth. Watch Saturday and Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern on Salem News Channel.
All right, let's go right to the phones. Annie in Hendersonville, North Carolina, WHKP, our great affiliate. Hi, Annie, what's on your mind?
Hi, Todd. I'll talk real fast. This socialism, communism, we need to call this Democrat socialism what it is. It is not redistribution of wealth, and it is not social justice for these black pastors and any other pastors getting behind this stuff. It is against God's commandment. This socialism is bearing false witness, and it is also coveting, taking from someone who has worked for what they have earned and giving it to someone else is thievery, and it is coveting. Now, if we're not careful with this socialism rise, we're going to have ourselves a nationwide Jim Jones cult, because that's what that was. That was communism. Also, Todd, my last point, there's a movie from 1968 called Wild in the Streets, which is eerily similar to what's going on with our government, in which young people felt that anyone over 35 needed to be put in some kind of a commune and
Yes. Doped
up, put out of the way. And it was led by Max Frost.
I remember that movie, and I remember watching it as a kid, scared the living daylights out of me. Annie, I got to run, but thank you for that call. Hang tight, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show.
Who helps America go farther, fly higher, dream even bigger? People do. Since 1879, our people have been more than a source of energy. they've been a source of progress. Today, that same progress is helping deliver record U.S. energy production, fueling the workers, the makers, the boundary pushers, and risk takers who spark the breakthroughs that move America forward. Learn more about what our people do at Chevron.com/USA250.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Happy to have you with us today. A very busy news day. I still have about 70 more minutes worth of commentary on the rise of socialism and what happened in that church over the weekend. And we're going to get to that a little bit later on in the program. However, we have been following some breaking news coming out of the Middle East, a very dangerous and deadly situation as Iran continues to target U.S. military bases. At least two people were killed, a third missing in a strike on a U.S. base in Jordan. Well, I want to bring into the conversation on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line today our good friend, retired Brigadier General John Tykert. Dragon, good to have you with us today.
Todd, thank you so much again for having me. I love being on.
All right. I've got a lot of questions and I've got a lot of thoughts. I want to go back to April 8th when the president, the White House, the Pentagon, they all said that Iran's ability to launch ballistic missiles and drones had been completely destroyed. And I'm wondering what has changed since April the 8th, seeing how the Iranians used a ballistic missile and drones to attack our service members.
Todd, going way back to early April, while what the president said was mostly true, there was still some residual capability even way back then that the Iranians could use to launch missiles and launch drones. But during the 3.5-month period of the ceasefire, they have some extent been able to reconstitute. That means dig out missiles that they had hid underground or drones where they did the exact same thing so that they would not get immediately destroyed by U.S. strikes. And now they are stitching that capability together and they're using it to do what they always try to do, which is to try to kill Americans. And very tragically, over the course of the weekend, they successfully did that, killing at least two Americans, probably a third, and then a fourth in a de-arming accident in Iraq. But you go back 47 years, Todd, the entire rationale of the regime in Iran has been to fulfill that chant of death to America. They've had residual capability. We let them off the hook 3.5 months ago, and now to some extent we're paying the price.
Well, we are, and I'm with you. I think we should take them at their word when they say death to America, death to Israel. And yet our vice president is out there saying, you know, we need to be able to trust these folks. I am very puzzled by all of this. The fact that we've had these ceasefire after ceasefire after ceasefire when the Iranians have no intention of honoring their word.
Todd, even today, there is new talk of the potential of a 10-day ceasefire. But I don't know why we would expect this 10-day ceasefire would work when the previous 2-month ceasefire at MOU was an utter failure, and the last 4 months of ceasefire has been an utter failure. And going back to the beginning of April, that ceasefire, when we stopped major combat operations, there was one and only one precondition: that Iran would open up the Strait of Hormuz, no strings attached. They never did, and we never held them accountable. And I don't know why we would dishonor the deaths of those two Americans, Private Gonzalez and Lieutenant Feehan, by assuming that all of a sudden Iran is going to negotiate in good faith when all they do is try to kill Americans, and sometimes they do so successfully.
There is a New York Times piece, and I want to caveat this by saying I don't think we need to know of every single move that the military is making. You know, the enemy, they know how to Google, they know how to read the New York Times or the Washington Post. So I don't necessarily have a problem with that. But the headline coming out of the New York Times today is the Pentagon is withholding dozens of U.S. military injuries in the Iran war. And that has been a peculiar thing. There has not been a lot of information coming out about the war. And again, that's not necessarily a bad thing, but if they're withholding things like injuries, you wonder exactly how are things going over there?
Todd, and my concern is the American public needs to understand the costs and the benefits of doing what we're trying to do in the Middle East. I'm a firm believer that we need to take out the regime because they have consistently tried to harm Americans for the last 47 years. But the American people need to be explained the cost of doing so and why that cost may actually be worth it. And I go back to the idea, Todd, that we to some extent have given Iran, even during major combat operations, a sanctuary. We never struck energy sites or power plants or major logistics or transportation nodes. The president promised that we would do so, but every time we came close, we found an off-ramp. Last week, the president promised that we would start attacking those type of targets this week. Now I hope with the death of those Americans this weekend, the president fulfills and is compelled to fulfill those promises that he's made all along.
I just don't understand what the end game here is. I don't see the off-ramp for us. And it's interesting on social media. I got attacked by a lot of the president's supporters over the weekend, because I just simply quoted what the White House had told us going back to April 8th and beyond that back in February, when the president, who was frustrated with reporters, told them, because they were asking, how long do you anticipate this lasting? And the verbiage was maybe 4, 5, 6 weeks at the most that this would go on. And here we are almost 6 months later, and I don't see an end in sight to this. Do you?
Todd, the only real way to ensure an end is in sight and succeeds here is if we find a way to take out the regime, because they are who they are and who they say they are. They're going to continue to try to kill Americans. But there's two things the regime said today that are tells that we should follow up on. They said that we must not unleash the Kurds because there will be consequences. And number two, we must not strike Karg Island because there will be consequences. They are trying to stop us from doing the things that would hurt them most, that would fundamentally undermine the regime, and that is unleash the Kurds and provide them top cover from the air and strangle the regime by taking out all of their sources of financing and export. And I think that we should take them at their word that while they may try to strike back, if we do those two things, then it undercuts the regime and can finally put us on a path of ending this conflict once and for all.
No doubt a lot of moms and dads are concerned, and I get that. You know, they've got sons and daughters that are over there. Any movements that you see? There have been some reporting that perhaps more airplanes, more fighter jets were heading into the region. What are you seeing? What are you observing?
Todd, two things. Number one, I am seeing more offensive capability flow into the Middle East, which means either they're providing the president options or he intends to use those options for more kinetic strikes. And number two, for the last 4 nights, we've been striking more operational level logistical sites around the Strait of Hormuz, which may either indicate that we're really working to eliminate Iran's power projection capability to threaten the Strait, or we're preparing the battlefield to seize some of those tactical and operational important islands around the Strait so that we can once and for all take control of that waterway. And I think the flow of aircraft in and capability in, and the fact that we're starting to strike those type of logistic nodes, tell me that something is afoot that is different from what we saw in the original 6 weeks of the conflict.
Brigadier General John Tigert joining us on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line today. General, it just seems to me that there seems to be maybe hesitancy, and I'm wondering within the administration itself, I'm wondering if President Trump's getting a lot of intel on both sides of the issue, and maybe that's why we keep going back to these ceasefires that never work.
Well, I think that he is getting conflicting advice, and I think his gut, when he keeps saying we're going to strike those targets that would completely erode the strength of the regime, like energy, power, logistics, and transportation, I think that's his gut. He needs to follow his gut and not maybe some naysayers that are trying to hold back on the offensive capability of the United States. And if he follows his gut and he discounts those naysayers, then I think we will get closer to a strategic success for the United States than if he keeps listening to some of those competing opinions.
But again, what you said, regime change, that was originally not on the agenda. That was not on the bucket list. It was just, we're going to stop their nuclear program. And I don't even, I mean, how do you even know if we've done that, knowing that they have missiles and drones hidden all over their country?
Todd, I think that in some of the president's comments early on, he did talk about regime change. And I think we were on the verge of unleashing the Kurdish forces from Iraq until Turkey convinced the president to hold them back. And that could have been a catalyst for actual regime change. But going back to the nuclear issue, maybe the greatest success from President Trump in his second term was Operation Midnight Hammer and the decimation of Iran's nuclear program. I think it became ineffective and non-capable a year ago, and I don't think it's an immediate or imminent threat now, but I do think that terrorist strikes from Iran or ballistic strikes from Iran are indeed imminent threats to our interests, which is why this fight is important, and we need to finish the job by striking at the heart of the regime.
All right, General, we're going to have to leave it there. Where do you want to go? I know you've got books you've written, all sorts of great work you're doing. Where would you like people to go to check out what you're up to?
Well, Todd, I just appreciate you're my friend, but ask people to go to johnteichert.com and you can find all of my writings and all of my speakings. And if you want to book me, reach out to me via that site, please.
All right. All right. Dragon, good to hear from you, my friend. And we appreciate, as always, the great analysis. Brigadier General John Teichert joining us on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. All right. We have got to take a break here, folks. Your reaction to what's happening in the Middle East. What do you want to recommend that the president do here, folks? Because it looks to me like we are heading into a quagmire here. That's what it looks like. And I think it's interesting that the general brought up the phrase conflicted information. You've got two sides that are, and these are hardliners within the administration on both sides of the issue. Where do you stand, ladies and gentlemen? What do you think we ought to be doing here? Because one of the worst things that could happen is we get closer to the election and you see more and more American troops that are injured, that are killed. You're going to have an uprising among even Republicans in this country. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This segment of the Todd Starn Show brought to you by our friends at Newsmax. Millions agree with President Trump, and they're switching to Newsmax, watching great shows, Greta, Carl Higbee, Rob Schmidt. If you're tired of big media, start watching Newsmax. It's free to start. Go to NewsmaxPlus.com for immediate access. You're going to get all of President Trump's most important events live, including our awesome documentaries from Melania Trump, Clint Eastwood, Charlie Kirk. Once you start Newsmax Plus, you will not stop. Try it for free. Go to NewsmaxPlus.com, then download the app. We'll be right back.
Who helps America go farther, fly higher, dream even bigger? People do. Since 1879, our people have been more than a source of energy. They've been a source of progress. Today, that same progress is helping deliver record U.S. energy production, fueling the workers, the makers, the boundary pushers, and risk takers who spark the breakthroughs that move America forward. Learn more about what our people do at Chevron.com/USA250.
All right, let's go right to the phones. Say hello to Alice in Arkansas, listening to us on KWAM. Hi, Alice. What's on your mind?
Oh, thank you, Mr. Stein, for taking my call. I'm 80 years old, 80, and I want to tell you that once there was a Jonah, and Jonah was told to tell Nineveh to repent. God is God. He's still the creator. He's still on the throne. He's still looking at everything. And may I tell you of a wonderful true situation in America with the 13 original colonies. It's really true. There was a Spanish Armada, and they had decided they were going to come over the colonies. So two armadas, at least, I don't know how many ships were in them, came near the shores. Now, prior to this, sir, I think you're very well aware of the Great Awakening. And the colonists had gotten right with God. And as those ships approached, they could see them coming. But God blew a wind. I wonder when God delivered before with a great wind. Anyway, half of them went south.
Alice, let me just say, we don't have a lot of time here, and I know that you had called in wanting to talk about the U.S. and Iran. So if you can, let's you've got about 30 seconds here.
Okay, dear. I think America needs to repent, and God can solve the problem. We need a real revival in this country, sir.
Alice, no doubt about that. And I can certainly hear the passion in your voice. Thank you for calling today. And we do. I think we do. And God can intervene here. Let's go to Anthony in Alabama. Anthony, what's on your mind?
Hey, thanks for taking my call again, Mr. Starnes. And God bless that woman, because she's right. We needed a revival. And I hope today is going fine for you. But what I'm just going to say here is that you're not going to win this conflict unless boots are on the ground. I don't care how they do it, whether it's our boots or somebody else's boots, but any general in the past is going to tell you, you don't win wars by bombing from the air. You cannot verify what's being done on the ground unless you have people on the ground. And as you can see, they were hiding things, and there's probably a whole lot of other things hidden. So I don't even think carpet bombing with a B-52 or dropping a couple of nukes is going to fix this. You've got to finish the job. If he doesn't finish this job, we're going to be toast in those midterms. Because it's because of Trump and whoever's advising him is why this thing has languished for so long. This should have been wrapped up a long time ago. If he would have went in there with everything he had, but you have to remove that regime. You've got to get rid of those people some way, somehow. Because if you don't get rid of those people, they're just going to reconstitute themselves again. So anyway, that's pretty much it. You're not going to win this war.
So boots on the ground. So you're saying boots on the ground. I mean, that could be a year or 2 year, maybe 3 year process at the very least.
Yeah, it can. But well, going back, this thing started in April. They had planned for. Does he have a plan for any of this? It doesn't seem like they even.
No, It doesn't. You're right. I don't think they've got a plan here.
I don't either. And who's advising Trump? Who? This is unbelievable. So I think Trump's between a rock and a hard place. If he don't make a decision soon, this is going to go bad for him. He got us into this. He's got to finish the job. And that's the only way I can see to finish it.
Anthony, appreciate the call. And it's time for a come to Jesus moment with the administration on this, folks. Otherwise, we are going to be in a mess. I think we're already in a mess, but we're going to be in a bigger mess over there. And we've got to get it figured out. But the hard line, this is what cracks me up. You know, I've got, you know, we're sharing literal audio and video of the president saying that it's going to be 4 to 6 weeks. And you've got his diehard supporters saying, that's not true. He did not say that. Well, what? We're just, what, making it all up here? We pulled the documentation from General Raisin Kane himself from April the 8th when he said, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that every drone, every ballistic missile had been destroyed. Boom, they're gone. We had remember that? We had total superiority over air superiority over Iran. Remember all of those? I mean, everybody was excited. We thought, wow, they got this wrapped up pretty quickly. So look, all I'm saying is whatever they're doing is not working. You say, Todd, how can you say that? How do you know it's not working? Well, because over the weekend, we had Americans lose their lives. That's how I know things aren't working. There's some other things. There's other reporting out there. And I don't know. Somebody is actually leaking intel out of the Pentagon, which is not good, because I think that puts troops in danger as well. We've just got a big mess on our hands, and they got to get that figured out. All right. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. Anthony says we're going to have to put boots on the ground. What do you think about that, ladies and gentlemen? We'll be right back.
Who helps America go farther, fly higher, dream even bigger? People do. Since 1879, our people have been more than a source of energy. They've been a source of progress. Today, that same progress is helping deliver record U.S. energy production, fueling the workers, the makers, the boundary pushers, and risk takers who spark the breakthroughs that move America forward. Learn more about what our people do at chevron.com/USA250.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Okay, we have been following this crazy breaking news story out of New York City, Lower Manhattan, just outside of the federal building. An area that I have been to many, many times during my time at Fox News, and it is just absolutely shocking to see some of the video coming out where some sort of an armed lunatic set off an incendiary device right outside of the Federal Plaza. We understand the Joint Terrorism Task Force is involved. They are describing this as an anti-ICE attack. I want to bring right now into the conversation on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, former CBP Chief Greg Bovino, who joins us today. Greg, first of all, good to have you with us. Your reaction to what happened this morning in New York City.
Sure. Well, Todd, it's good to see you, and thanks for having me. You know, it's too bad that the violence has escalated to the point where it has now. Unfortunately, I'm not surprised. And I think that we're going to continue to see this type of violence against ICE officers and law enforcement in general. This is not an accident. This has been perpetuated and encouraged by many, whether it's so-called community leaders or those elected representatives. They've encouraged this type of behavior from the very beginning. Make no bones about it. It's a wonder it didn't happen before now. So they encouraged this, Todd.
Greg, I'm a hardliner when it comes to immigration. I think the only people we need to be concerned about are the folks trying to get into this country legally the right way. I think everybody here needs to go. If you are here illegally, you got to go and come back the right way. And it just seems a lot of folks are getting the impression that we're not being as aggressive as we were back when you were running things.
Well, sure, Todd, I happen to be one of those hardliners right alongside you there, if you didn't know. And, it's true. It's not negotiable. Coming into the country illegally is not negotiable. You don't get to might stay or maybe stay or that type of thing like has happened in the past, unfortunately. Now, when you come into the country illegally, we expect you to leave, hopefully on your own, hopefully a self-deportation. That's the best way so that, as you said, Todd, you can come in and do it the right way. But if not, it's time for whether it's the U.S. Border Patrol or ICE to come get you and formally deport you. So then you'll not have any chance of coming back in this country. So, it's black and white. Our very culture is at stake right now. Over this issue. I think it's the most important issue of our lifetimes.
No doubt about it. It's not that we've been invaded. We've already been invaded. Now we're being occupied. And it's very clear when you look at some of these communities, states like Minnesota, you've got tens of thousands of people who do not want to assimilate into the American way of life, into the American culture. And Greg, I'm concerned that we're going to be balkanizing large swaths of America if we don't conduct a serious crackdown on the illegals.
Yes, that tribalization and balkanization, as you mentioned, that you can see it already happening in many parts of the United States, whether it's Dearborn, Michigan, or nearly any state has its area that is already happening. That's scary to me. And again, it's a cultural shift that we're going to be up against when you bring in, and my number's 107 million, up from 100 million. When you bring in that many individuals that do not share your values, your culture, your beliefs, your customs, then you're going to have problems. And, it wasn't pretty when they came into the country, especially under Joe Biden, the tens of millions that came in under Joe Biden. That wasn't pretty. And it's not going to be pretty when they leave. Nobody ever said it was going to. Right now is our chance to stand to and to initiate those mass deportations of every single illegal alien walking our streets with impunity right now, and they're walking our streets with impunity right now. And, you know, now is our time to stand too, while we've got President Trump in office and some good hardline immigration officers and retired immigration officers out there, some good hardline folks like you that truly understand the problem. Now is the time. We've got the solution. We've got the manpower. We've got that American exceptionalism that can make this happen. So what the hell are we waiting on, Todd?
Look, it's a great question, because again, the perception is that we're easing up here, and I'm concerned when I saw the reports several people have been shot. And why were they shot? They were trying to run over ICE agents, and so now all of a sudden they wanted to back off of the traffic stops. Now we understand that, you know, the White House said, no, we're not going to do that. But are you concerned that we've got folks running the program there that are more concerned about optics than they are about actually getting the illegals out of the country?
100%. Yes, I am worried about that. That is happening. I think that Trump, he has a team that he works with. That team advises Trump. I think he's getting some bad advice, Todd. We did start softening that approach even before we got to Minnesota. And then with the capitulation and the surrender in Minnesota, it's been nothing but a soft approach ever since. And, you know, people say, well, how do you know that, Bovino? Is this sour grapes? Or why would you say something like that? Well, Todd, look around you. I can go to a Walmart. I can go to a bank. I was in a bank day before yesterday, or a few days ago, and I believe it was last Friday. There were more suspected illegal aliens in that bank either opening bank accounts or accessing current bank accounts in that bank than American citizens. Why is that happening? If we had hardcore immigration enforcement, you wouldn't see that. But you know what? It's almost like they've turned the corner, or they feel they've turned the corner, these illegal aliens, and they're back to doing business as usual throughout the United States. I hear this every day from American citizens. Sometimes they recognize me and they want to come up and talk about immigration and what's going on and why isn't something being done. So, you know, it needs to be to the point where you and I and Ma and Pa America can visually see and feel that immigration enforcement's being done. And Todd, it's not rocket science. It's not rocket science. You either do it or you don't. And when you do it, you can tell it's being done. There's no doubt about it. But if you're not going to do it, don't hand us excuses. We're getting gaslit and we're getting excuses now.
That's it. I think the American people know it. And that's troubling, because that is one of the top issues on the minds of voters going into the midterms. I want to circle back before we wrap things up here. There was a story last week out of Memphis, Tennessee, where the president's attack on crime has been incredibly successful. Four members of the National Guard told they could not eat at a pizza joint, Tamboli's Pizza, because the owner says that the city was being occupied. I mean, turning away these young people that are out there making cities safe. We have seen these reports in other cities across the nation. Your reaction to that, Greg?
Unfortunately, what those National Guard members are seeing and experience there in Memphis, that happens quite often, especially to Border Patrol agents. To myself, I have to really watch it going into a restaurant or an establishment like that. But that's a very, very real situation. It's sad that it's happening. But I believe you mentioned that was Tramboli's Pizza, highlighting that, just like the left tries to highlight us for being, enforcing immigration law. I think it's important to do exactly what you just did and highlight those businesses. They don't want to be highlighted. Just like many of those anarchists and rioters, they want to videotape you, Todd, or me, or any Border Patrol agent out there. But when you turn that camera on them, oh boy, they don't like that too much. So Ma and Pa America, if you're listening to Todd Starnes, take action with your phone and let your fellow American citizens know exactly what's going on. Those National Guard members should not be turned away. Hey, what happened to, I'm going to buy that guy lunch?
That's right.
That's what that should be when they make the community safer. Unbelievable.
All right, Greg, look, we really appreciate you coming on the show today. We're going to get you back on, and we appreciate your hardline stance here. I think that the majority of the American people support you 1,000%, and we've got to get a handle on this. Otherwise, we're not going to have a country. So, Greg Bovino, thank you for joining us here on the show today.
All right. Well, Todd, you see clearly, and thank you.
Who helps America go farther, fly higher, dream even bigger? People do. Since 1879, our people have been more than a source of energy. They've been a source of progress. Today, that same progress is helping deliver record U.S. energy production, fueling the workers, the makers, the boundary pushers, and risk takers who spark the breakthroughs that move America forward. Learn more about what our people do at Chevron.com/USA250.
All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Great to have you with us. Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. Before we get to the phone lines, ladies and gentlemen, we are well under a month away from the launch of my brand new book. It's called The Golden Age, How Trump Saved America. You know, we talked earlier in the program, and in the last hour, we're going to jump back into the socialism angle of the talk today. But in the book, I write about the threats that are on the horizon. And one of those threats is socialism. Socialism is already here. And we've got to figure out how are we going to deal with this clear and present danger to the republic. And I offer some ideas in the Golden Age, because we can't just celebrate. It's not like we have reached, as I wrote in the book, the Golden Age is not a destination, it is an aspiration. So it's not like we've arrived and that's it, and we can sit back in our lazy boys and enjoy, you know, a Dr. Pepper. No, that's not it. We've got to keep fighting for freedom. And I'm just telling you, if the socialists ever get control of Congress or the White House, it's all over for us. So that's one of the reasons why I want you to read the book. I want you to get a copy, get one for your church library. If you've got a young person, maybe a grandson or a granddaughter, get a copy for them as well. The Golden Age, How Trump Saved America. And you can pre-order a copy, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, Amazon. Now, listen up. If you pre-order the book, and you'll want to keep your receipt, but if you pre-order the book on Amazon between now and book launch day, you will receive an extra chapter of the book that is not published in the book that's coming out on August 11th. So just wanted to entice you to get in on the action very early. Once you pre-order, call Helen at our wonderful call screener, and we'll get your information, and we'll make sure you get that extra chapter of the book that was not included in the book that'll be in stores. 901-260-5926, our number. Let's go to the phones. Danny in Tennessee. Danny, what's on your mind?
Hey, good afternoon, sir. I had a quick comment about what you're speaking about last hour, but briefly, with what you're talking about with your guest, I had a buddy of mine, old Army buddy of mine, was just recently in Dearborn, Michigan. And the thing is, like, here locally, you know, you go to town stuff, everything seems fine and all that, but he had to go in Dearborn, Michigan, and he grew up around there. And he said when he went there, he felt like he was back in Saudi Arabia and in Iraq and stuff.
Is that right?
He said it is wall to wall. He wasn't exaggerating. He said he had flashbacks. He thought he was back there because it was just the burqas, everything, everywhere. He said it was crazy. And that is coming to a neighborhood near you. If you got two things you can do, you're not going to be able to do nothing and just sit on your butt. You got two things you're going to have to do. Either prevent it now, or you're going to have to do a major lifestyle change when they take over your area here, not too distant future.
Well,
you can't just sit and do nothing. We're going to have to do something.
Danny, I was watching a video last night. It was it was showing up in my feeds on, I think, Instagram or something. And it was a look at what Somalia looked like back before the communists took over, what Iran looked like before the jihadists took over. And these nations were beautiful nations, beautiful people. I mean, Tehran was one of, was sort of like Paris, where you had some of the most beautiful women, and they were, you know, wearing the bathing suits, and the guys were out there. You know, everybody was having a good time. It was sort of like a version of what America was until the jihadists took over. And I think this current generation, anybody who was born, you know, beyond 1985, they don't know what things used to be like in some of those countries before the jihadists or the communists took over.
They people don't realize what's going on, and it's you can't just sit and do nothing. We're gonna have to do something. We gotta. Anyways, back to last hour.
Real quick, yeah,
yeah. Just make it real fast. In the military situations, the only thing certain is uncertainty, and you're always getting orders changed. Things are always changing, and we have old battalion colonel. His phrase, and I think President Trump could use this right now, his phrase was, "I did not lie, the truth changed."
All right, Danny, that's a great way to wrap things up. A lot of wisdom there from Danny in Selmer, Tennessee. Let's go to Charles in North Carolina, WSIC. Hey, Charles, what do you make of what's happening?
Hey, Todd. Well, first off, looking forward to getting your book here when it comes out. Look forward to reading it. But kudos to Greg Bovino, everything he said. But if you want to bring in the previous caller, Muslim takeover of our cities, unchecked illegal immigration, the rise of socialism, the one thing that can bring all that about, and I know people think it can't happen here, but it can. Is us staying involved in some stupid war in the Middle East with Iran. It destroyed Lyndon Johnson's presidency. It destroyed George W. Bush's presidency. And if Trump doesn't get us out of there and declare victory, it's going to destroy his presidency, the Republican Party, and it's going to usher in the kind of socialists that this country does not need. Todd, we went to war to what? Stop Iran from getting a nuclear bomb? Right? Well, supposedly we've destroyed their capability. But now the truth has changed. I think what the real motive was, Todd, is regime change. That's what they've wanted all along. And the president is getting some bad advice, just like he's getting some bad advice on immigration and, you know, slowing down the deportations. I'm afraid that a lot of the neocons have got to him. But he's got to reverse course and get us the hell out of there as fast as possible and declare victory and bring them home.
I thought it was interesting what General Tankert said earlier, that we're not targeting the power plants. We're not targeting the Iranians where it's going to hurt the general population, where they would rise up, you know, against their government. We're not doing any of that.
No, we're not. And I think that's the only thing that can defeat that regime. It's not going to be, air power and strategic bombing campaign. That doesn't cause nations to surrender. It's going to be the Iranian people rising up, and I wish there was a way we could get weapons to them and some type of organizational structure to, you know, for them to take care of business. But for now, I just think Trump needs to tell Netanyahu, needs to tell the rest of the world, hey, we've destroyed their military capability. We've taken out their nuclear capability. We're out, and we're coming home.
Charles, a good thought. Going to leave it there. By the way, gas prices climbing back above $4 a gallon. Oh, geez, Alou. That's we'll see how that fares. The president also now vowing that every time Iran kills an American soldier, they're going to pay for that killing many times over. We don't know what that means. But anyway, the directive was passed along to the Secretary of War and the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. And Rubio now saying diplomacy is still on the table. What is going on there, folks? Got to take a break. 901-260-5926. We'll be right back.
Who helps America go farther, fly higher, dream even bigger? People do. Since 1879, our people have been more than a source of energy. They've been a source of progress. Today, that same progress is helping deliver record U.S. energy production. Fueling the workers, the makers, the boundary pushers, and risk takers who spark the breakthroughs that move America forward. Learn more about what our people do at Chevron.com/USA250.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Great to have you with us. By the way, if you missed our interview with the former Border Patrol Chief Greg Bovino or Brigadier General John Tykert, you can go to our website and download our free podcast. You can also download our app so you can listen to the show wherever you are in America. By the way, some breaking news to share with you out of New York City. There is new video that shows the anti-ICE terrorist throwing the first firebomb onto the plaza there in New York City at the federal building. So we have posted that video at toddstearns.com. I will tell you, folks, it's really a miracle that nobody was seriously injured as a result of what that horrible person did there. The good news is the guy in custody, and we also have brand new video, much clearer video, of the terrorist being taken into custody. And again, you can see all of that for yourself at toddstearns.com. Well, I want to bring into the conversation two good friends of mine, Bob McEwen, the former congressman from Ohio, and Harry Hurley, the king of talk radio in Atlantic City, New Jersey, WPG Radio. Guys, good to see you. Bob, before we get into all of this, I had gotten some messages from friends who live in Ohio, and they say it was so smoky because of those Canadian fires. Are you guys doing good where you are?
Well, I was in Cleveland and in Akron over the weekend, and it was seriously, seriously bad. I live in Cincinnati, and it wasn't so bad there. But last week, unlike anything I've ever seen, Todd. It was really bad.
And Harry, now I know normally you guys have a cloud of smoke over Jersey, but it's normally the devil's lettuce, my friend. Were you guys getting the residual smoke too?
Oh, it was bad. I agree with what Bob just said. A couple of days before the rain hit, it was very unhealthy. Yes.
All right. But everybody's doing a lot better from what I understand.
Yeah.
All right. Good stuff. Guys, let's just jump right into this. Shocking story this morning out of New York City. Harry, you just have to wonder, at what point are the Democrats going to realize their rhetoric and the rhetoric coming out of the mainstream media literally putting lives in danger here?
Todd, you're exactly right. It reminds me of the Weather Underground. This rhetoric, and you see how concerned Democrats, you know, the big civil war right now, people think it's Republicans versus Democrats. It's Democrats versus these socialist communist Democrats. You hear Van Jones, who we used to think sounded radical, Bill Maher, John Fetterman, and the list is long. They're very concerned about these socialist Democrats. And I agree with you completely, Todd. You can't blame them for everything, but their rhetoric is creating a weather underground type violence where we see bombs going off, chemicals and fireworks, and what you're describing today in New York is very serious. And hopefully the American people will reject it.
You know, Bob, I want to touch on what something Harry said about the Democrats and, you know, Bill Maher saying he can't have any part of whatever this Democrat Party is becoming. Congressman Steve Cohen from Tennessee, Memphis, Tennessee, one of the most far left progressives in the House. He actually resigned from the Progressive Caucus because it has gotten so radical. He's very concerned about the rise of anti-Semitism within the ranks of the Democrats. What is going on here?
Well, particularly in anti-Semitism, now we've crossed the Rubicon. In the vote last week, more than half of all Democrats, and of course the Democrats have always been reluctant to support Israel. Republicans have supported Israel, even though the Jewish community overwhelmingly supports Democrats 4-1, but Republicans did it because it was the right thing to do. Democrats did it because it was convenient. And now when they find out politically it's to their advantage to abandon Israel, more than half voted to have no relations with Israel and to abandon the agreement that Carter arranged many, many years ago. So for Steve Cohen, people are beginning to recognize what we've known for a long time, that the Democrat Party was not committed to them. And once they got a better deal from a larger group, they would abandon Israel immediately, and they're doing it.
Harry, over the weekend, we had Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Summer Reid from Pennsylvania, and Ayanna Pressley from Massachusetts campaigning in Memphis for a radical Democrat. This is the guy that's going to be replacing Steve Cohen. Of course, this is a district that has been redrawn by the Republicans, so the Republicans should have the advantage. But it's been a nationalized race. The National Republican Congressional Committee coming out earlier today, this is from Politico, saying that the Tennessee 9th is going to be one of their target districts. And at this rally, Harry, which was held in a very large black megachurch, over 1,000 people cheered as the pastor said that Jesus was a socialist and that Christians should be socialist. And I'm just wondering how concerned Republicans ought to be about the rise of socialism and the way the narrative is being shaped in many of these churches across the country.
Well, we should be very concerned. However, the Democrats maybe are even more concerned because the most radical wing of their party, they're being successful in these contests. They're becoming the nominees of the party. My belief is that they still can only win in the most radical areas. If they start to win in more conservative or even, let's call them purple type districts that are a coin toss maybe, if they have success beyond the most radical districts, then we have a lot to be concerned about. I don't think we're anywhere near that yet in America, though.
Bob, how do you feel about that?
Well, I hope Harry's right, but I see the growth is taking place. And when you put 8, 10, or 15 of these folks in the Congress where they can preach leftist anti-American socialism and give a legitimacy to it, then you can see that begin to grow to a caucus of 25 or 30 and begin to impact the entire operation. As you know, Harold Ford represented that district where Steve Cohen is. It's majority Democrat, majority black. It's the only place where a black district is represented by a white man. And he wanted to join the black caucus, and they said, absolutely not. We're not interested in who you represent. We're interested in what your skin color is, and he was denied. So I think we're going to hopefully see some changes, some improvement taking place. But the Democrat Socialist Party is beginning to take ascendancy. And when you look at the leadership, whether it be Schumer or Jeffries or any of the rest, they have no impact on the momentum that's taking place right before our eyes.
Guys, I want to switch over to the war in Iran. Harry, in February, we were told by the White House that this thing would be wrapped up no more than 6 weeks. That was their guesstimate, 6 weeks. We're almost 6 months later. In April, they told us, General Raising Cain from the White House website said that Iran's ballistic missile and drone capabilities had been destroyed. And now we know that's just simply not accurate. Where do we go from here, and what is the end game? Because I'm starting to kind of get a whiff of a possible quagmire as we move towards the November midterms.
That's well said. It's a lot of people's opinion right now. I have not yet lost faith in my former boss, President Trump. He knows what he's doing. Perhaps a mistake that was made when, if you listen to a great general like General Keane, who said we were about 2 weeks away from finishing them off, and then we gave them the pause. We worked on a memorandum of understanding. I think what we have to grapple with is that this is a regime, whether it's their children and grandchildren and not the prior generations, because President Trump and our military ended them. I think that it's going to end well. You can see that President Trump has upped it big time. I heard you on with your other guest, and he was making a lot of sense. But I do think we need regime change to win the whole thing. Otherwise, they outlast the current president that's in office. They've been doing it for 47 years. We've had 9 consecutive nights of heavy, heavy attacks on Iran. If we take out the radical clerics, if we take out the IRGC, we can win this thing, and it can be a whole new day in Iran. But we have to go for the win. We can't go for the same thing that we've done before. And there's no piece of paper that Iran is ever going to be faithful to.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one, Harry. And again, Bob, you know, I would go back to the early days of all of this, and I was one of those proponents of regime change. We got to get in there, get it done, and then move on. That has not happened. And again, I don't blame the president here. I think the president is getting conflicting messages from people that he trusts inherently. On one side, I think you've got Pete Hegseth and Marco Rubio. On the other, you've got the vice president. And I would suspect the president's own son, at least one of them, who is standing alongside the vice president here. How do you see this playing out? And are my concerns? Am I blowing smoke here?
Well, Todd, I think you and Harry are both 100% correct. Let me just add one little piece to it, and that is that I met with President Ford 24 hours later, pardon me, President Bush 24 hours after he pulled the plug on Desert Storm. We wiped out the fourth largest army in the world. We were smashing them. Colin Powell and Dick Cheney came in and said, we're just in front of the whole world. We're destroying these people. This is horrible. And we pulled out without Saddam Hussein surrendering. Now, what we learned later was Saddam Hussein was in a fetal position in the corner of his bunker. And when he found out the Americans quit, within 2 hours, he was up shouting orders. As long as they are in power, they consider it a victory. And this situation is the only way it's going to resolve itself. And this is a unique time. Countries that wouldn't even speak to Israel 24 months ago now have IDF forces on the ground helping them with the Patriot missiles. There is a transition taking place in which America is on the ascendancy. Iran is in trouble. But you're 100% correct. If we leave them in power, they will consider it a victory, and we'll have to fight it down the road, just as we did with Saddam Hussein in 1991.
All right. Both of you guys have become advisors to the president. What do you tell the president? What guidance do you give him on this? Harry, to you first.
Never trust any settlement. You cannot negotiate with these people. They lie. They do it. It's a sport for them. They're trying to run out the next 2.5 years so they can deal with a weaker president. He knows that this is his last shot, and he's got to go for the total win, and he can do it.
Bob, what about you?
He's exactly correct. I would add that the reason we're there is because we were petitioned by the UAE, by Saudi, by the Bahrainis, by Kuwait, pleading with us to do something that they couldn't do. And that was to overthrow that horrible government that is attacking them. Now, Trump has listened to them. He's delayed at their request. He's done everything they've asked him to do. It's now his time to say, together, we have to put an end to this, because we can't do this every 8 or 10 years from now on. Americans won't put up with it.
Well said. Bob McEwen and Harry Hurley. Guys, great to see you. Great insight and analysis. And we look forward to getting you back on soon. Thanks, fellas.
Honor to be on with you and the congressman. Have a great day.
All right. Two great American patriots right there, ladies and gentlemen. By the way, Harry Hurley has a street named after him in Atlantic City. I don't even have that in Memphis. I would be afraid for them to name a street after me in Memphis. I can't even imagine where that might be. All right. We've got to take a break here, folks. What advice do you give President Trump when it comes to Iran? No doubt there is a lot of concern right now in the White House over the direction of all of this. So what advice would you give the president? Do we stage a full-blown land invasion? Do we continue the airstrikes? Do we start targeting the sites that will start impacting the average Iranian? Do we arm the good, God-fearing people of Iran? 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
Who helps America go farther, fly higher, dream even bigger? People do. Since 1879, our people have been more than a source of energy. They've been a source of progress. Today, that same progress is helping deliver record U.S. energy production, fueling the workers, the makers, the boundary pushers, and risk takers who spark the breakthroughs that move America forward. Learn more about what our people do at Chevron.com/USA250.
Oh, geez, Alou, sorry there, Parker. I was jamming to the tunes. By the way, welcome back. Dylan was there just moments ago, and now Parker's back. Welcome. Are you back for good now?
I am back for the rest of the summer.
All right, good, because you've been doing the basketball camps, and as you come back from school and workforce in the summertime, but I never see you here. You're always at a basketball camp.
It has felt like I've been in a rhythm of like 1 week in Memphis, 1 week in Birmingham, but Good to be back.
So it's good to be back. How are the camps? What exactly do you got? What is your role in the basketball camps?
So for the camp specifically, we have about 250 kids at a camp. And so we divide that up between all the players and coaches. And so we each get a group of about 10 kids usually, coach them, help them get better throughout the week, and then have a big tournament between the teams at the end of the week.
I remember years ago when I was fresh out of journalism school, I was a sports reporter, and our coaches, the basketball, typically the camps are run by the coaches, which is extra cash, right?
That is nice. I can agree.
That's what it is. But anyway, it would be sun up to sun down.
It's a full day. Our kids get there about 8 o'clock and they leave at 4.
All right. Are you a coach in all? Is that your role in this?
Yes. So I would have my own team and like coach the kids throughout the week.
I see. So did you ever get into it with the refs or anything like that? Or do you have to set an example for the kids?
No, because the problem with that is we would have our players ref the games.
Oh.
And so sometimes you're reffing your own game. So you're trying to call it balance, but you also want your team to win kind of thing.
It's kind of like when I have, I'm a Marsha Blackburn, and I've endorsed Marsha Blackburn, but I've got the other guys coming on, so you got to be fair and balanced about
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Okay, I get that.
Yep.
All right, that makes sense. Did you catch any of the World Cup yesterday?
I did. Great game.
Really?
I think the better team won.
Wait, nobody went one score. There was one score, 80 minutes.
I get that argument, but I respect great goalkeeping. I thought the Argentina goalie played great considering Spain got nearly 20 shots up and had one goal. So I can respect that.
Did you catch the halftime show?
It was on, but it was a waste of time in my opinion.
I didn't get it. I mean, it's first of all, I had just taken my heart meds and I'm like, am I looking at the Muppets right now in the middle of MetLife Stadium? Is that Miss Piggy? And at first I thought it was a drag queen.
I was a little confused with that, too. I was doing something else in the background while that was on, and I was like,
yeah.
I was just seeing random things pop up. I was like, oh, it's Justin Bieber. Oh, it's the Muppets. What are we doing?
Oh, well, I mean, as a matter of fact, one of the guys, where do I have? So he is one of the commentators for BBC, and they just kind of, I guess, call it like it is. And the guy was talking about how it was crap. He said it was a crap show. And I thought it was interesting. Madonna did okay. She probably doesn't need to show. Were those support stockings or was that lingerie? I wasn't sure.
No idea.
Could have been both. I don't know. We don't want to judge, but she's out there not acting her age. And then you had Bieber out there. So it was just weird because Bieber comes out and it's like a total chill vibe. Not something I would expect from a halftime show.
The vibe was different every 30 seconds, it felt like. You couldn't keep up with what they were trying to do.
It was all over the place.
They were doing too much in their short amount of time.
And then you got the children out there singing about love, and then the Muppets were,
They lost me.
Oh, who was there? Miss Janice, not from New Orleans, but the nurse. Nurse yes. Janice from the Muppets.
Yes.
Man, I forgot all about that. We used to watch that show all the time. That was a great show. But anyway, so it's over now, right? So everybody, all the foreigners are going back to their home countries. And
today should be a big day of airport traveling.
We don't have to give anybody free meals anymore and all that. All right, good. Well, all that to say, I thought Trump did a great job and I think set the standard, the gold standard for how you do one of these FIFA things.
100%.
That being said, it's called soccer, not football. All right, got to take a break. Hour 3 of the Big Show coming up next.
Who helps America go farther, fly higher, dream even bigger? People do. Since 1879, our people have been more than a source of energy. They've been a source of progress. Today, that same progress is helping deliver record U.S. energy production. Fueling the workers, the makers, the boundary pushers, and risk takers who spark the breakthroughs that move America forward. Learn more about what our people do at chevron.com/USA250.
Live from the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
hello, everybody. Welcome to Hour 3 of The Big Show. Good to have you with us today. Write down our telephone number. You will need this if you plan on calling in, 901-260-5926. And, you know, we thought it would be fun, and I don't know how this is going to play out, but we decided to have the team on this segment of the show. And by that, I mean we've got Parker, who is back from basketball camp. Parker, do we have, and we have Ian, the intern, with us as well? We do. Wow. All right. Very good. So everybody talking to your microphones there. We've got Dylan here as well as Helen. So we've got the whole crew. How's it going, everybody?
Going really well. This is a crazy thing.
Yes. We literally decided to do this during the commercial break. So we'll see how it goes. Yeah. All right. Ian is back. Do we have Ian's microphone working?
We do. I'm on now.
Oh, wow. All right. Well, guys, good to see you. First of all, I think we had some big news because, Helen, you've been like on vacation for ages.
It's true. If you've been hearing the last week that Dylan's unenthusiastic voice on the call screening, that's why. I was gone.
Unenthusiastic?
Wow. I guess I didn't get a very good grade from Helen. I don't know. I thought I was pretty enthusiastic. I mean,
I'm pretty sure Lucas called into the show.
He did. Yeah, he did.
And heard your voice.
He pranked me.
So we, you got pranked.
Kind of, yeah.
Okay, we'll explain who that is in just a minute. Yeah. I will say we got a call from somebody or a text saying, when's that girl coming back? Talking about you, Helen. So now, Helen, you've been with us for what, well over how long now?
Oh, goodness, like 9 months?
9 months, 10 months. And so tell us a little bit about where you're from and the connection you've got to the show.
Well, I'm from Stafford, Virginia, so I'm between D.C. and Richmond, and my sister was, I think, one of your first interns at Liberty University, and so that's how I got connected to you.
It's true. So you graduated from college and came down here and moved to Memphis, which is like a big deal. Are you regretting that decision in your life?
Not yet.
Okay, good. Well, that's good. So
there's a yet in there.
No, that's true. That's true. And so the reason we wanted to have you here, Helen, is because you went on family vacation, and where do you guys normally go to on vacation?
We go to this place called Rockport, Massachusetts, and I've been going there since I was a child, and we were able to bring my boyfriend, Lucas, with us.
And so, Lucas, we've actually met this guy. Guys, you have as well. I think y'all been able to socialize. What do y'all think about Lucas here?
Oh, he's great. He knows so much about servers and networking. We talked about that for like an hour.
That's Ian.
He's a tech guy.
He's a tech guy.
Yeah, okay. He's building his own server rack, which most people will never, ever do that in their life, but he's very smart.
But he's gainful. So this is good news. So he has skills. He has a skill set.
Yes.
So the boyfriend was invited along on the family vacation, which is a little unusual. So I'm curious what happened on the vacation.
Well, it was a big test. Like, I was like, if you do not like Rockport, that's going to be a problem. But on the vacation, on the second or third day we were there, he took us to the motif number one, and he got on one knee and proposed.
So he got on the knee, the whole nine yards.
Yes, and he hired a private or a secret photographer that came and got the whole thing. So wow. That was exciting.
Parker, are you taking notes?
Definitely.
Okay, that's good. Oh, wow, Parker, that was kind of short and to the point.
Like, I was going to get a little bit of time before that, but
all right, the notes are being taken. Well, I just want to make sure, because you've been dating this girl for, what, 7 years or something?
Over 2 years now, yes.
Mercy. All right, so that's a long time. So you better get cracking there. All right, can we talk about the ring here? Because that's the one thing, everybody, you came back from vacation, and it nearly took out my retina. It's so bright. That is a beautiful ring.
Yes. We have the main rock that he got, a lab-grown one, and then there's three on each side, and those are his great-grandmother's diamonds from her wedding ring. So it's very personal, which I like.
That's beautiful.
It's really something. It's really something to look at.
I made Dylan give him, like, notes when we were looking up rings, and I was like, Dylan said you should do this.
Yeah, I'm the professional married guy here, so, you know, I had to give him some tips, but he took it too far. In a good way.
No, in a great way.
In a great way.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I remember, so we were all, when you popped the question,
yes.
You may not be aware of this, but we were at the your in-law's home,
yeah.
and every woman there was monitoring your every single move. They were tracking you on yes. their iPhones.
Yeah, I mean, that's the whole thing. Most of them were out of town, so I get that. But even Mary, my wife, she knew that they were in town because they didn't turn their locations off. That was like the one thing I asked, but it was fine. You know, they were there and she knew, like I'm sure Helen knew before that I was even going to ask. She knew that I was going to ask that day. So, you know, it's whatever. No surprise for me.
Mm. I was tempted to mess with him. I like seeing those videos. Parker and I were talking about this, of the guy making the girls go out, like, we're going on a walk right now. And the girls being like, well, I'm tired. No, put on your best dress. We're going out on this long hike. And then they get on one knee after the I wanted to mess with Lucas because I started figuring out that it was coming up. And I was like, let's go into every shop. And when he's like, no, let's go over here. I'd be like, well, I want to try all these clothes on just to mess with him. But I was nice.
Now, I talked about that, not saying I would ever do that. Or, but that is very good comedy.
He had a good hiding spot. That. He didn't put the ring in his pocket, he told us. Like I did. Like I put the ring in my pocket. I'm thinking like, no one will know. This giant box sitting out of my pocket's a phone. Where he put it in his sock, didn't he?
Yes. He did.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wait, he put the ring in the sock.
He knew I was looking at his pockets. And so he put it in his sock, and you can see in the photos when he's on one knee, his like golf sock is showing with all the tees on it and the golf balls. So that's really funny.
Very
that's,
romantic. Good pictures.
That is romantic. Well, this is exciting. So did you say yes?
I did.
All right. I just don't leave the audience hanging here. Well, congratulations. This is exciting.
That would be very sad if we come on the show and we're like, well, we have a good story. Helen says no to proposal.
Well, it is good for us, you know, because you wouldn't be, you know, moving, you know, as the case may be. But that's yes. a long time off.
Exactly. Yes.
Okay, well, that's good news. So we're happy about that part of it. So anyway, folks, if you have any advice for Helen, because this is first time getting married, you know, so I'm sure there are going to be lots of questions.
Hopefully the last time getting married, too.
First and last. I love that. So that's great. So have you guys picked a location? I suspect your mom already has everything planned out.
She was looking at venues before he had even popped the question. So... But yes,
and I have to do that now.
I know. That's a lot of work.
Years in advance.
Oh,
it's terrible.
Yeah.
And Parker, the good news is you're a guy, so you really don't have to do anything.
That is true. That is something that like I'm not looking forward to, but knowing I don't have all of that pressure is a comforting
thing. You just have to show up.
Show up and look good and
look
take
good.
Care of business.
Lucas only care of business. Lucas only wants to deal with what food we're having. That's the only thing he cares about. He's like, what food are we having?
That's important.
That's what I cared about.
Yeah.
And the band. Those two things, that's what I cared about.
Well, you're a music major, so the band makes sense.
You can't show up and like have like cucumber sandwiches. You've got to have a hearty meal.
I was fine with Chick-fil-A.
Oh, that would have been a great wedding.
That's a good idea.
That's a great wedding supper.
I've seen it happen, and it was a really good wedding.
Or like from Lenny's, a big, you know, multiple foot-long sandwiches.
Yeah. You could get a taco truck.
Can we plant ideas in Lucas's head now?
Yeah,
no lettuce. Just take
no
a pass on the
yes.
lettuce. All right. Well, if you have any suggestions for Helen, you know, again, engagement advice, getting ready for the wedding, give us a call, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Guys, the other big story has been the release of Odyssey, the movie. I'm hearing very, very mixed reviews about this.
Really?
Ben Shapiro says it is the best movie ever made. You got to go see it. And then a lot of other conservatives are like, no, this is terrible. It's woke. And you said you went to go see it.
I did. I went yesterday. We saw it in IMAX. We do have an IMAX theater here. Weirdly, it's not 70 millimeter if you care about that stuff. He made it for like the ultra IMAX. I thought it was great. I gave it a 9 out of 10.
Really?
The politics of it, I don't really know. I didn't really notice anything that would have been considered woke, unless you want to call Elliot Page, that actress or actor who turned whatever. Well, I genuinely don't know the gender of this person. That's the confusing part.
Yeah, she's like the chick or something.
She's a girl and plays a man in the movie. If you want to call that woke, yeah, I mean, it's woke. But very short part. That's what I wanted to know. Is this a main role here or not?
She's only like 5'2", so she is very short. Yeah.
I'm not going to spoil what happens to her, but the movie overall is great. Christopher Nolan makes really good movies. He made Interstellar, Inception, all the Batman movies. So I knew that it was going to be good regardless of, you know, mixed reviews.
So your recommendation is to go and see it.
I would recommend it. If you're into Greek mythology, if you're into the whole Iliad, the Odyssey, that stuff, they do a really good job. They do leave out stuff from the book, but, you know, it's a movie.
Ian, did you go and see the movie this week? You're like a big movie guy.
I am a big movie guy, but I have not seen the Odyssey. I'm not up to date with all of the information about it.
Yeah. Well, I didn't read the book. I didn't actually read it. My wife did. She's all into that. She's like, Poseidon, Zeus, Athena.
Did you see the old movie?
No. The one from 1950?
Yeah.
No, I didn't.
Okay. Because a lot of people have been saying about the Cyclops looking different. What did you think of how the Cyclops
looked? The Cyclops looked a lot different, yeah.
Yeah.
So in the 1950s version, they made the Cyclops look like a man with a beard with one eye. This one was like a monster that was huge. It was scary. This is a borderline horror film if you go see it.
Wow.
It is scary.
Okay. I'm not sure. I'm not a big horror movie guy.
It's an epic horror movie.
An epic horror movie. Yeah. All right. Maybe, you know, we were trying to figure out, we're doing like a group, we've been putting this off forever, but doing a group activity together.
Yeah.
And we came up with Olive Garden. Is that?
You can blame Ian the intern.
Ian, talk to me about your passion, your love affair with Olive Garden.
I'm sorry. I just really like Olive Garden. Is it authentic Italian? Absolutely not, but it's nice, it's clean, and I've always gone there with my family. That was like our weekend thing.
They do have unlimited breadsticks.
It's true.
And soup and salad.
Soup and salad. Mm. Well, soup.
Parker, yeah. Olive Garden?
It's just not the first place I'm ever going to think of. I don't think I've ever gone out of my way to go to Olive Garden, no. But it is good.
I forgot. I keep forgetting it's there. It's like literally right around the corner.
Yeah, we can walk
from the building. So, all right, maybe we should.
Yeah.
All right. Well, guys, before we go here, this story from the New York Post, parents are, and this could be for you guys, Dylan, I mean, okay. You know, little
future
ones.
Future parent.
Yeah, future sure. Parent. Parents are giving babies giant melons to hug. Wow, that headline could go a very bad way. It's adorable, but there's a good reason for it. So we're talking about actual watermelons. They call them winter melons, and parents in China have been seen nestling giant winter melons in their baby's crib to help keep their bodies cool.
I don't know why you can't just go buy a teddy bear at Toys R Us.
Yeah, I'm sitting here looking at a photograph here from the New York Post of a toddler mounting a melon in the bed, in the crib.
Are you eating the melon after the toddler cuddles it?
That is disgusting.
Yeah.
But in China, it turns out that parents let their kids and their pets lean against winter melons to cool down during the hot summer days. Over 95% water content, and winter melons stay cool longer and absorb body heat. Okay. Would you guys, would you go to bed with a melon?
Absolutely not.
I'll try it. If it works in China, it might work here. I don't know.
Is that a waste of food, though? Like, are you eating it after you've...
Well, what's a winter melon? I only eat melons in the summer.
Well, I think it's like a watermelon.
Yeah, but like...
It's not like cantaloupe or honeydew.
What is this, like, keeping you cool thing? Mm. I don't know.
Yeah, the cantaloupe are rough. I don't know. That would be like, yeah.
No.
They'd be chafing involved.
That's the punishment if the child cries too much. You just replace it with a cantaloupe.
Definitely. Ian, the intern, are you into melons here? Do you...
You know, I always sleep with the AC on full and two blankets. That's how I sleep. So I wouldn't really think the melon would fit into the current loadout.
As any red-blooded American man should do. 67 degrees. That's where the thermostat should be.
67. You're so right.
With blankets. All right, we've got to take a break here. Guys, I'll let you get back to work. So
I guess.
All right. So anyway, we'll try to bring the team back on occasionally. Dylan, Helen, Parker, and Ian, guys, thank you. We've got to take a break here. 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Who helps America go farther, fly higher, dream even bigger? People do.
Since 1879, our people have been more than a source of energy. They've been a source of progress. Today, that same progress is helping deliver record U.S. energy production, fueling the workers, the makers, the boundary pushers, and risk takers who spark the breakthroughs that move America forward. Learn more about what our people do at chevron.com/USA250.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It is the Todd Stearns Radio Show, and I have to tell you, I really do have the greatest staff in all of talk radio, just great, great young people. You know, the one challenge to doing it like this is that we, unfortunately, these kids they grow up, and then they get married, and they end up moving away, and The good thing, the positive part of that is we still keep track with everybody, and which is great, but we would rather keep people around for, you know, 10, 15, 20 years. So, Parker, when you graduate, you got to come back.
I'll try.
That's the rule. All right. 901-260-5926. And we're getting a bit of an echo here, guys. If we can fix that, thank you. This news just coming in from President Trump. So Zohran Mamdani, the communist mayor of New York City, has announced that he is threatening to arrest Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. And the president weighing in on this, the president says Netanyahu will not be arrested in any way, shape, or form while in the United States of America. He is fighting against the Islamic Republic of Iran, which recently killed 52,000 innocent protesters and spent the last 47 years killing American soldiers and others. The only ones that should be arrested are the people that led Iran into this unprecedented spiral of death and destruction, something that should have been dealt with years ago by previous presidents. So there you have it. I mean, how is he going to do that? How is Mamdani going to arrest Benjamin Netanyahu? What does that actually look like? Are we going to dispatch the NYPD down to the United Nations? I mean, come on, give me a break here. Unbelievable. By the way, Tom Holman, just moments ago, and he's really fired up. Tom Holman, the border czar, telling reporters at the White House, I can't even get a carton of milk at a grocery store without a security detail. Why? Because I'm enforcing laws. It's pathetic and it's disgusting. He's talking about the attack today right outside the federal building. He says this is not just an attack on the ICE agents. It's an attack on their spouses and children. No one knows that better than me. So all I can tell you is God bless Tom Holman. I mean, he's a great patriot. But we've got to double down here, folks. We've got to double down, and we've got to get these illegals out of our country. 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stearns Show.
Who helps America go farther, fly higher, dream even bigger? People do. Since 1879, our people have been more than a source of energy. They've been a source of progress. Today, that same progress is helping deliver record U.S. energy production, fueling the workers, the makers, the boundary pushers, and risk takers who spark the breakthroughs that move America forward. Learn more about what our people do at chevron.com/USA250.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It is the Todd Stearns Radio Show, and we're just so honored to have you with us today. Someone said, is it true your staff is Gen Z? Absolutely. And I love it. Let me tell you something. You know, I think a lot of times Gen Z gets a bad rap. And I think when you take a look at that generation as a whole, I mean, these are some good, solid young people. These are great American patriots. And the younger version of Gen Z, hard workers. They are so dependable, and they really are committed to the conservative traditional values. And I think everybody on our team is actually ascribes to those conservative values. So for me, absolutely, hands down, very thankful and grateful for the team that we've assembled here. Well, AOC was in Memphis the other day, and I want to play some audio. She's making some headlines because she debuted a new accent here in the Mid-South. Let's take a listen.
We cannot afford to leave Tennessee behind. We cannot afford to leave Kentucky behind, Alabama behind, Mississippi behind, Georgia behind, South Carolina behind.
You can kiss my behind. Okay. Nobody talks. Nobody talks like that here. That's not. And if they did, I would have to move. So I just, you know, again, I don't know what it is with these Democrats, but every time they show up in a church, you know, they put on these airs and they have these fake accents. It's really off-putting. Tennessee behind, Georgia behind, South Carolina behind. Did she mention Arkansas? I don't think she can. Can we play that again, Parker?
We cannot afford to leave Tennessee behind. We cannot afford to leave Kentucky behind, Alabama behind, Mississippi behind, Georgia behind, South Carolina behind.
Oh, she forgot Arkansas. How do you forget Arkansas? Come on, man. Anyway, this audio is it's a story. This is a horrible story. So a lot of you folks, you own your home, and so if you're going to be out of town or maybe you're on vacation, you'll rent it out on what, Airbnb? Is that, that's a big thing. I can't do that. I feel weird about sleeping where somebody else, give me the Ritz-Carlton. All right. I'll stay at the Waldorf Astoria, but I'm not a big, you know, sleeping in somebody's house. So this guy, this is a terrible story. Sank about $1 million into restoring a house he had purchased. And so anyway, the guy thought he was renting it out to a family, but instead 200 black kids showed up, teenagers, young people, and literally destroyed the man's house in just one night. Take a listen. Cut three.
The damage is devastating and disgusting. Floors wet with backed up sewage. A 150-year-old piano destroyed. Broken windows. And the pool littered with debris. This is the aftermath of a wild party promoted on the internet at this house in Monroe.
There was smashed glass everywhere, garbage everywhere. When I drove by the property during the party, I could see there had to have been at least 150 to 200 people in the swimming pool.
Off camera, the owner says he listed the house on Booking.com and believed he was renting the mansion on Sapphire Road to a family for the weekend. Instead, it was the target of Project X, a party promoted on social media, the exact address withheld until the day of the event. Within hours, vehicles clogged the street as partygoers arrived.
It had to be hundreds and hundreds of cars, and yeah, just something like this area is really not used to or not honestly equipped for.
Police were called, but the location is in the unincorporated part of Monroe, patrolled by state police, which only enforce state laws, not local ordinances. Still, the town supervisor says she believes the party should have been shut down.
Based on the description of damage, trespassing, what probably was underage drinking, someone found needles that implicated, you know, illicit drug use. I was just shocked that there wasn't probable cause for the state police to respond appropriately.
The party went on until the wee hours of Sunday. By the time the owner arrived from out of town, many neighbors had cleaned up most of the debris on the road.
Well, we all felt horrible for the homeowner. I mean, he put so much effort and energy into building that house into a really beautiful place. I mean, when we saw all the destruction, we just all pitched in and started cleaning up.
The homeowner, town supervisor, and neighbors all expressing relief that no one was hurt in an event that could have ended badly.
A terrible story, but I just want to throw this out there. Now, imagine, if you will, that the homeowner had asked in advance to meet in person with the individuals that were going to be renting the home for the weekend, or if he had asked for, I don't know, photographs and a resume. And based upon that information, the homeowner said, nope, can't, nope, not going to do it, not going to rent to you. How much you want to bet that homeowner would have been dragged through the national media cycle and accused of being a racist who refused to rent his home to 200 black young scholars who just wanted to have a lovely afternoon at the pool and enjoy a lovely tea party? You know that's exactly what would have happened. Just telling you. So the lesson here is don't rent your home out to anybody. Just tell him to go down to the Motel 6. That's what I would say. Oh, this interesting blurb here, trying to get some stories worked in because I was not pithy in the first hour of the radio program and just went on and on and on. And my apologies, I have a lot to say about socialism. Harry Sisson, who is one of the Democrat soy boys, and this guy, I have seen spaghetti noodles with more muscles than this guy. And he's in his, mid-20s, and he's really one of these soy boys. And he was on Don Lemon's podcast the other day. And Don Lemon, of course, is, well, Don Lemon. And it was there that Harry Sisson threw down and said that he wanted to box Stephen Miller. Take a listen to Cut 6.
And I've suggested to people before in interviews, I'm like, I want to fight them. I think...
fight them?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, if Stephen Miller would agree, or one of the Trump children, or, like, anybody in the administration,
oh,
I want to fight them.
God, you know what? That I would go pay to see on the White House lawn.
That's what I'm saying.
In a UFC.
Why are we doing the UFC event? Why don't we just settle some political beef? I'll take anybody in the White... I boxed for 4 years. And if they want to, I'd get back into training camp, get in the best shape of my life, and go fight one of them.
I would do it, too.
Yeah. That's why I feel like there's so many people that would do it.
Okay, Don, got to reel in the gay just a smidge there, Don. Got to reel in. Oh, I would too. I would love to engage in fisticuffs. Wow, first of all, Harry Sisson's voice changed. Wow. All right, congratulations. I mean, look, sometimes guys are late bloomers, and if you're 25 and your voice drops a few octaves, good for you, Harry Sisson. So anyway, no word from the White House on whether or not they would agree to box Stephen Miller and or Don Lemon for that matter, but we'll keep you updated if that happens. You can't see this in the again, that's the audio, but the video, Don Lemon tries to emulate a fist fighter.
Oh, you mean like fisticuffs?
And it's like his wrist stop. It's like whatever muscles or tendons he doesn't have in his wrist. And so his hands were just flopping around. It's, yeah, you're not going to be able to box with those. You got to be able to grip, Don. You got to be able to grip. All right. Ted Cruz, offering some commentary here. We had, what was it? AOC, before she went down to Memphis, AOC was standing on the steps of the U.S. Capitol building. And she was asked about abolishing the Senate. So this is the latest. This is actually in the Democrat Socialist platform. They want to abolish the U.S. Senate. And they say, as an AOC actually reiterated this on the steps of the Capitol, AOC says that the Senate was actually created out of Jim Crow, which is simply not true. Jim Crow came about in the aftermath of the Civil War in the late, in the mid 1860s. The Senate was created in 1787. And the whole point of the Senate, there is a significant difference between the Senate and the House. And it was very intentional. This is what the framers of the Constitution intended, that the Senate be a deliberative body. And then the House would be the more popular influence. So representation in the House is based upon population, and then every state in the union gets two senators to balance everything out. And now the Democrat Socialists want to abolish the U.S. Senate. Well, then Ted Cruz is going around and around with Senator Hirono, who is one of the low information senators in the U.S. Senate, about exactly who is responsible for being the party of racism. I want you to take a listen to Cut 5, please.
So why don't you just stop lecturing the rest of us? Just because you think you are the smartest person in the world doesn't mean the rest of us agree to that, okay? Thank you.
Senator Hirono,
Senator, I knew Diane. Senator Cruz.
Just a moment ago, our colleague Senator Hirono said there's a lot more to say, and indeed she's right. And in fact, I want to go back to her comments. She began by saying we have a long history of racial discrimination in this country. That's undoubtedly correct. And then she said, quote, we had poll taxes, we had literacy tests, we even had tests of how many jelly beans are in a jar. Mr. Chamberlain, when Senator Hirono says we had poll taxes, I want to ask you who we is, and in particular, what party was it that implemented poll taxes in the South?
I mean, I don't want to necessarily speak in every single case, but I'm pretty confident it was mostly the Democrats.
And what party was it that put literacy tests in place in the South?
Same answer, mostly the Democrats.
And what party was it that had tests like how many jelly beans are in a bottle?
The Democrats.
Tell me, what party were the founders of the Ku Klux Klan from?
I'm pretty sure that was the Democrats.
Indeed. In fact, Nathan Bedford Forrest, the founder of the Klan, was a delegate to the 1860 Democrat National Convention. What party wrote the Jim Crow laws in the South?
The Democrats.
And so on this side of the aisle were members of the Republican Party. Who was the first Republican president?
Abraham Lincoln.
The Republican Party was literally founded to oppose slavery. We came into existence because slavery was a grotesque evil, and it was President Lincoln, the first Republican president who signed the Emancipation Proclamation, who won the Civil War, and that resulted in the freeing of the slaves and the passage of the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments. By the way, fast forward to the Civil Rights era. Bull Connor, one of the most noxiously racist politicians. What party was he from?
He was a Democrat.
The Democrats, for the entire history of their party, have been a party based on racial discrimination.
And there you go, ladies and gentlemen. That's it in a nutshell. And, of course, all of this gets lost in the mainstream media narrative. When you look at what happened in the 1960s, and there are a couple of great movies. Bryan Cranston did a terrific job. Woody Harrelson and Bryan Cranston both had movies where they portrayed LBJ. And I really do believe that the Bryan Cranston version was the better, but they're both great movies. And I'd encourage you to watch it only to understand that it was the Democrats who stood in the way of the Civil Rights Act. It was the Democrats. It was the Republicans who took great exception and took a stand for black Americans across America. As a matter of fact, going back to the 1920s, it was black Americans in Memphis, Tennessee, who were very involved in the National Republican Party. Here in Memphis, the efforts among black Republicans resonated across the entire nation. Of course, you would not know that nowadays because they don't teach that part of history in our taxpayer-funded classrooms. So good for Ted Cruz for standing up and saying what needed to be said. And again, setting the record straight. That's what this is all about. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. I want to put a pin in the socialism conversation. If our churches, if the predominantly white evangelical Christian churches do not rise up and condemn socialism, we are going to lose this country. It is really that simple. And if you go to my website, you'll see my warning. I wrote out my thoughts and I put them on the website for you to see for yourself. But if we do not address the scourge of socialism, that is something that needs to happen in our church houses because it will have a direct influence on what we are able to do as people of faith in this country. And I don't know about you, I do not want to have to worship in an underground church. I mean, I will if I have to, but I would prefer not to. So if that means standing up and addressing the big issues of the day from the pulpit. And I'm not talking about every single Sunday, but I am talking about those issues that are front and center and happening in the now. Those need to be addressed from our pulpits, not from a Republican or a Democrat point of view, but what the Bible says about the issue. Unfortunately, many churches just will not go down that path. And again, I would encourage you to pre-order a copy right now of The Golden Age. You're going to need this book because it provides you the path forward and how we carry on the America First movement well into the 21st century. Just a reminder as we go to break, if you do pre-order, immediately call Helen, our call screener, and we're going to get your information because we will send you an unpublished chapter of the book. It's a chapter that will not be in the actual published book, just as our way of saying thank you for making a pre-order, for pre-ordering a copy of the book. 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Who helps America go farther, fly higher, dream even bigger? People do. Since 1879, our people have been more than a source of energy. They've been a source of progress. Today, that same progress is helping deliver record U.S. energy production, fueling the workers, the makers, the boundary pushers, and risk takers who spark the breakthroughs that move America forward. Learn more about what our people do at Chevron.com/USA250.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. By the way, coming up on tomorrow's program, we're going to be talking to Jeremy Thompson. He is running for Tennessee's 9th Congressional District race. He'll be joining us in studio tomorrow. That race has been designated by the National Republican Congressional Committee as one of their target races for the midterm elections. They see this as a possible additional Senate seat that Republicans could pick up. So we'll keep an eye on that story. Also, want to direct your attention to one of our great sponsors, absolutely free of charge. There's no cost. They don't ask for your email address or anything. It's called MyFaithAssistant.org. That's MyFaithAssistant. I'm sorry, MyFaithAssistant.com. That's MyFaithAssistant.com. You say, Todd, what is it? Well, our good friend Dr. Michael Youssef has a website. You can type in any question you have about the Bible. You're going to get a Bible-based answer. For example, what does the Bible say about socialism? Well, we're going to talk about that tomorrow because Dr. Youssef has a lot to say about it. So again, MyFaithAssistant.com, free of charge. All you have to do is type in your question, and you're going to get a great answer. All right, got to call it a day. It has been a fun one. We look forward to seeing you tomorrow back here on the radio, noon o'clock, 24/7 over at ToddStearns.com. Get out there, be good, and stay cool, America.
Grainger knows when you're a procurement manager for an office park, you're not managing one building. You're managing all of them. And to stay ahead, you need to see through walls and around corners. Lights about to fail, filters ready to clog, HVAC on its last leg. If you wait until something breaks, you're already behind. Count on Grainger. For quality products, easy reordering, and 24/7 support. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.